过一个小时，因为 Google 肯定事情有点多，就OK，so let's begin。
OK。
OK，我们开始啦。外昆塔之音服务员于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年6月20号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到亲爱的萨迦 Deva 帕布为我们讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊。
Last week we had a lot of questions we didn't have time to answer.
上个星期我们还剩下了一些问题，然后当时没有时间一一回答完。
So I thought today that we will just review the topic of last week and then finish answering the questions.
所以今天我就想和大家一起再复习一下上个星期的话题，然后把剩下的问题一一回答完。
Because I only have 1 hour today.
因为今天我的时间只有一个小时呢。
And also, I'm not sure tomorrow is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's disappearance day, and I'm not sure about China, if it's today or tomorrow.
然后我知道就是美国这边的时间是明天 Bhakti Vinod Thakur 的这个是 disappearance day or appearance day?
Disappearance day.
是 Bhakti Vinod Thakur 的这个隐居日，所以不确定是不是中国就是今天的，就是他的那个隐居日呢。
So anyway, I'm going to sing his song Jaya Radha Madhava, and then we'll have the class.
好，总之我现在开始来唱 Jaya Radha Madhava, 然后我们就一起开始上课了。
Jaya Radha.Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janna Balava Girivanadari Gopi Janna BalavaYasoda Nandana Braja Janarajana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarajana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Girivanadari Yasoda NandanaBraja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha MadhavaKunjabi Hari Nitai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 So last week we read text 30, chapter 3, canto 6, and this is a verse spoken by Yamaraj to his messengers.
上个星期我们一起阅读了圣典博迦瓦坛的第六篇第三章的第三十诗节，然后这个诗节是阎罗王给予他的 Yamadutta 呢给予他的这些执行他命令的这些人的 一条训示，然后一个信息。
Of course, Yamaraj is the Lord of Death.
我们都知道阎罗王是死亡之神。
Interestingly, in Nara, Japan, the very old capital of Japan, there's an old Buddhist temple there dedicated to Yamaraj.
有趣的就是在日本的一座古都，这个古都的在古都那里的话呢，就修建了一座佛教的庙宇，是用来崇拜阎罗王的。
And in Japanese, he's called Enma-sama, the Lord of Death.
Enma-sama. 然后在日语里面的话，就是把阎罗王称为 Enma-sama.
How about in Chinese?
I think it's 阎罗王。
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 So Yamaraj, he's instructing the messengers of death.
所以说在整个这一部分都是阎罗王在训示他这些执行他命令的这些官，这些使命官。
So because the Yamadutas had approached.And actually arrested Ajamil, and he is a Vaishnava. They committed a great offense to a Vaishnava.
由于他的使者们然后靠近、接近并且逮捕了阿加米勒，而阿加米勒是一位 Vaishnava， 所以说阎罗王的使者们就犯下了巨大的冒犯。
And Yamaraj, because he's the leader of the messengers of death.He also was involved in that offense. He was partially responsible.
而由于阎罗王也是这个去执行死亡命令的这一块的使者的领导领袖，因此的话呢，他也部分的参与到了要对这个就是Vaishnava 所犯下的冒犯承担起部分的责任。
So Yamaraj, he's admitting the offense that he made and that his followers made, and he's praying to the Lord for forgiveness.
因此阎罗王就在承认他本人以及他的使者所犯下的冒犯，并且祈祷主能够原谅宽恕他们犯下的冒犯。
Yeah, so he's admitting that he made an offense to Ajamil, who was a devotee of the Lord.
因此他是在承认他对阿加米勒这位神的奉献者犯下了冒犯。
And they did not recognize that Ajamil was actually a servant of God.
他们当时并没有认出阿加米勒是神的一位仆人。
So actually they should have never approached him, but they did, and so that was a mistake.
实际上他们永远都不应该去靠近接近一位 Vaishnava 的，但是的话呢，他们由于不知道然后就犯下了这样的一个错误。
So Yamaraj taught us what we should do, you know, how to make amends if you offend a Vaishnava.
因此在上一个时节中阎罗王就在教导我们就如果我们犯下了一个错误一个冒犯，那么我们应该怎么做，应该怎么来去做出补偿。
Yeah, so first you have to admit what you did wrong.
所以首先我们需要去承认自己是在哪个地方做错了。
Then you have to do something to make up for it.
并且要做出一些事情来对此做出弥补。
You have to say you're sorry.
就必须要去说对不起。
And you have to ask for forgiveness.
并且要去请求对方的原谅。
So Yamaraj did all of these things.
而阎罗王就把所有的这些都做到了。
He showed by example, how to correct a mistake if you mistakenly offend a Vaishnava.
所以他就以身作则的向我们展示出，就如果要是冒犯了 Vaishnava 的话，那么应该怎么样来去纠正这样的错误。
So that was the topic of the class last week. So now we'll answer questions that were remaining from last week.
所以这就是我们上个星期 谈到的话题。那么现在我们就一起来回答，接着回答上星期剩下的问题。OK, let me have a look. OK, 我们来看上个星期剩下的第一个问题，是一位叫快乐女神 Basi 的一位妈妈姐问到，顶拜古鲁，顶拜翻译，我不敢当。您说到一个人不应该赞美，也不应该批评他人受物质制约的品性，那作为灵性导师应该具备不受物质制约的品性，是可以批评和赞美他的门徒吧？而作为门徒也要接受古鲁的批评和赞美，是吗？So this Mataji is offering her basicism to you, and she's asking that, okay, you were saying that a person should not praise, neither should he or she criticize the other people, their conditioning personalities or conditioning characteristics, then spiritual masters, they are supposed not to be conditioned, right? They are not supposed to have the conditioned personalities. So they can, so spiritual masters can criticize and praise his disciples, right? And for disciples, they should also accept the criticism and praise of their spiritual masters, right?
Yeah, well, I think she's confused. She's, there are two different issues. They're not the same.
Oh, two different issues. 实际上就是您问到的这一点和顾就是他上个星期所讲到的是两回事儿。
Well, there's one issue, praise and blame, right?
当然其中一件的，其中提到的一点是关于这个赞美和批评。
But there are different contexts to that issue.
但是就批评和赞美的话呢，是有不同的一个背景的。
So I quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam spoken by Krishna to Uddhava.
然后上周我引用的《薄伽瓦坛》当中的一个诗节是 Krishna 对 Uddhava 所说的一段话。
And he says that the awakened being, he doesn't involve himself in criticizing or praising someone.
然后在那个诗节中 ，Krishna 就说到，觉醒的存在，也就是觉醒的灵魂，不会让自己被牵涉到这种对他人的批评或赞美之中。
Because in that context, praise and blame is on the material platform.
Oh, you mean like on the context of that verse?
Yeah, we're praising somebody's false identity and criticizing one's false identity.
OK, 所以说而在上一个星期所说到的那个诗节的话，它的一个上下文的背景是指的是基于物质层面的，也就是说我们因为一个人的虚假的身份而去批评他，或者因为一个人虚假的身份而去赞美他。
Yeah, so an awakened being, he no longer relates to himself or to others based on the bodily concept of life.
而一个觉醒的灵魂，他是不会在基于这种物质的身份认同来看待他自己，并且去看待和对待身边的所有人。
And so if an awakened being involves himself in praising himself or another or criticizing himself or another based on the false identity, then one gets re-entangled in an illusion.
Illusion. 而如果一个人要是把自己摄入到，就是基于他自己或者是其他人的虚假的身份来赞美，或者来赞美自己或者赞美其他人，或者是基于自己和他人的虚假的身份来批评自己和批评他人的话，那么这只不过是指这个人又把自己给牵绊到了这个幻觉之中。
Yeah, so then one again is viewing oneself and viewing others, and not from the truth, the absolute truth, but from the relative truth of the material world.
那如果是这样的话，这样这个人就会又是基于又不是又是基于这个物质世界的相对真理来看待他自己和看待其他人，而并没有基于绝对真理来看待他自己和看待其他人。
Yeah, because in reality, the soul, the pure unit of awareness, never has any relationship with the material mind or body.
因为在现实当中。知觉的纯粹个体纯粹单位就是我们这些个体灵魂是从来和这个物质世界物质能量没有任何一丁点的关联的
and nobody else does either
并且不仅我们自己所有其他的生命都是如此
at the same time as long as we're in the material world we do have a material mind and body and a limited you know imaginary self.
Limited imaginary self. 然而同时的话呢，由于我们身处这个物质世界，那就必然会有这个物质的躯体和心意，然后有这个充满限制性的想象中的自我。
Well, we have this limited identity that's based on the mind and the body, which ultimately doesn't exist.
我们就会有这个基于心意和躯体的充满限制性的虚假的身份which ultimately doesn't have one, sorry.
It doesn't exist.
而归根结底的话呢，这个虚假的身份认同是并不存在的。
Because Krishna explains that that which has a beginning and an end and changes ultimately has no existence.
No existence. 因为 Krishna 就解释到过那些有始有终并且在不断变化的事物实际上是没有实际上是不存在的。
Yeah, this mind and body is temporary just like a wave in the ocean.
我们所具有的这个心意和身体是非常短暂的就像是海洋的波浪一样。
Okay, so in that context, Krishna says, a person who wants to become self-realized, he shouldn't get involved in praise and blame based on this limited identity.
Limited identity. 因此基于这样的一个上下文的背景 ,Krishna 就说到一个想要自我觉悟的人就不应该让他自己摄入到基于充满限制性的虚假身份认同的基础上的这些赞美和批评。
Now, in the context of a teacher and a student, that's a different situation.
而现在如果我们换一个背景来看是对于这个老师和学生之间的这种关系的话那么这又是不同的了。
Or a parent and a child.
或者是父母和孩子。
So,In that case, it's the duty of the teacher to encourage his student and also to discipline the student when the student needs correction.
Needs correction. 因此，基于这样的一个情况的话，那么老师就是有责任要去训练他的学生，要去纠正和这个鼓励他的学生，就如果这个学生是需要就是被纠正一些言行举止的话。
Yeah, and you know, a parent and a teacher, they want to encourage and reinforce positive behaviors.
父母和老师是需要去鼓励并且加强学生或者是孩子的积极的正面的行为的。
And they want to correct mistaken behavior.
然后并且去纠正学生或者是孩子的这些错误的行为。
But even when they're correcting the student or the child, the motivation is love. It's not based on the illusion of the false ego.
illusion of false ego. 而即便是当父母和老师在纠正自己的这些孩子和学生的言行的时候，他们所做的这些动机都是基于爱，而并不是基于这个虚幻的这个虚假假我的虚幻的假我的幻觉的。
Yeah, because when we're in material consciousness, when we praise someone or when we blame someone, there's usually some material motivation behind it.
Material motivation. 因为当我们处在物质知觉的层面上时，当我们去表扬某人或者批评某人，那么往往背后都有一个物质的意图动机在里面。
I want you to like me. I want you to praise me, so I praise you.
所以说我想要你喜欢我，对我好一点，所以说我就好好表扬一下你。
And because the false ego is always afraid and insecure, if the false ego sees someone who's more competent, then the false ego likes to criticize them, so it doesn't have to feel so afraid.
是的，由于虚假的自我总是很害怕，总是充满了不安全感，因此的话，当假我看到另一个人更加的能干，然后更加的不错的话，那么这个假我就会去表扬赞美这个人，从而好不那么感到害怕。
I think the key point is in the relationship between the guru and disciple or student and teacher.Is that the relationship is voluntary?
The relationship is what?
Voluntary.
Voluntary. Okay. Yeah. 所以说我想说的是，在孤鲁和门徒或者老师和学生之间的关系的一个关键点，就在于他们彼此的关系是自愿的。
Yeah. So the student voluntarily has become a student.Of that teacher.
学生自愿的想要当那位老师的学生。
That means the student is expecting to be corrected.
而这就意味着学生自然会期待着、期望着在那位老师那里得到纠正。
So Prabhupada in this connection has given us a little advice.
所以说就这一点来说，帕帕是想给我们一些建议。
He says that you don't have the right to correct anyone who's not your student.
帕帕曾说，你没有任何权利去纠正一个不是你学生的人。
For one thing, that if you know, if you want to correct someone, they have to be open to being corrected. Otherwise, they'll just resist and it doesn't work.Anyway,
所以说从一个角度来看，如果你想要去纠正某个人的话，那么对方是愿意敞开自己来被你纠正的。否则的话，就说当你去纠正对方，他只会使得对方更加的抗拒，然后拒绝。所以你说再多，然后这也完全没有任何的作用。
Yeah. So it's the duty of the teacher to correct the student, and the student. Has voluntarily accepted, you know, to be corrected by the teacher.
因此的话呢，老师的职责就是要去纠正他的学生，而学生的话也是自愿想要去接受老师给予他的纠正，矫正，应该是纠正。
So those are two different contexts of praise and blame.
所以说这就是关于赞美和批评的两种不同的一个情况了。
I'm sure there are many others.
当然我想还会有其他很多的情况要考虑。
So each context may have a different point of view and answer.
所以针对每一种不同的情况的话呢，都会有不同的视角和不同的解决不同的答案。
Yeah, so thank you for your question. That's a very useful question for all of us.
所以说谢谢这位玛塔姐问的问题，这您问的问这个问题对我们大家都是非常有帮助的。OK, next one. 下一个问题是 Radha Priya 玛塔姐问， 非常感谢 Maharaja 的讲课，感谢翻译，谢谢您今天讲到门徒的错误和冒犯也会反映在灵性导师的身上，我们目前处在初级的层面，难免会有冒犯的行为，有些时候我们自己甚至都没有在意或者不知道自己冒犯了，那么这也会给咕噜带来反应吗？So Radha Priya Mataji here is offering her a grateful gratitude to your class last week. And she was saying that you were mentioning that the mistakes and the offenses that are made by the disciples would also reflect on the spiritual masters. And now we are still on the elementary level.So really cannot avoid offensive behaviors. And sometimes we are not even aware and don't know that we have made offenses. So these would also cause reactions to the gurus?
Well, yes. You know, it's very similar. We don't have to get too esoteric. It's very practical.
是的，确实如此。我们不需要就是说想的就是很玄学或者是很玄秘，就是很实际层面来讲，它是就是这样子的。
Right, very similar to what a parent goes through having children. You're responsible for what your children do.
这就相当于是父母在。这个养育孩子的时候就必须得为孩子的言行等等都要承担起责任，所以这两种状况是非常相似的。
At the very minimum, when a child misbehaves, it creates great anxiety, you know, for the parent. Or when a student just misbehaves, even unknowingly, you know, there's some anxiety created.You know, for the spiritual master.
所以说从一个最少的一个方面来看，当一个孩子要是行为不端的话，那么至少会给他的父母制造出焦虑或担心。那么同样的，当一个门徒即便是在不知晓的情况下行为不端，那么做出错误的事情，那么也会给他的灵性导师至少制造出一些这种焦虑和担心。
And similarly, when the spiritual master sees that the disciple is making nice advancement and doing wonderful service, there's great satisfaction. The spiritual master also enjoys that.
那么同样的，当灵性导师看到自己的门徒就是有良好的举止，然后并且做出非常棒的服务的时候，灵性导师也会很享受自己的门徒所做出的这些了不起的事情，然后并且也会从中获得极大的满足感和满意。
Yeah, so the student and the teacher, they've made a commitment together to walk this path, this journey together until we reach the goal.
学生和老师共同的做出一个坚固的一个承诺，要两人就是携手共同的走在这条道路上，并最终达到目的地，达到目标。
And as long as the disciple maintainshis initiation vows, his or her initiation vows, then the relationship with the guru continues.
而只要门徒能够一直做到自己在启迪时许下的诺言，那么门徒和孤乳之间的关系就会一直持续下去。
So that we shouldn't think that the guru has to suffer the reactions of some rascal disciple.
所以说我们不应该去认为就是说灵性导师会去遭受一些就是很糟糕的门徒所做出的那些就是错误的行径。
Now, if this disciple, you know, makes a mistake or makes an offense, you know, but gets back up,then the relationship continues.
而如果一位门徒 犯下了冒犯或者做出了某个错误的话，但是这个门徒又很努力的让自己赶紧的爬起来，那么门徒和灵性导师之间的关系就会一直的这个维系下去。
But if the disciple misbehaves, refuses to be corrected, and no longer is following the vows, then the relationship is cut off.
而如果门徒继续行为不端，然后拒绝纠正改正自己的这个言行，然后并且也不再去继续的做到启迪时所做出的承诺，那么门徒和灵性导师之间的关系那就断开了，断掉了。
Yeah, well, of course, there are many scriptural references to this point.
当然就是有很多这些经典上的话语的话呢，都是和这刚才我提到的这一点是相关联的。
And there's a statement from the Hari Bhakti Vilas.
在这个 Hari Bhakti Vilas 当中就有这样的一句话。
Just as a king is made a shareholder in the sinful reactions of the ministers and subjects, and the husband in the sins of his wife, so also the guru is indeed made partner to the sinful reactions of his disciples. Oh my God!
What is this a shareholder and the I know subjects that
so in other words, if the subjects, you know, if the ministers and the subjects of a king do well, then the king gets a good result, right?
Yes. Okay. 好，我们来说。
But if the share goes down, then they lose.
If the share goes down.
Well, the share means.You could say a share is something we all own, right?
Yes.
We own together. So if the stock goes up, we make more money. If the stock goes down, we lose money.
Oh, I see. Okay. And the second part is a husband also get involved with the sins of the wife?
Yeah, if the wife becomes sinful, the husband is also affected.
Okay. The same. So the last part is a parent with the kids.
Yeah, the last part is the guru indeed is a partner in the sinful reactions of his disciples.
Okay, got it. 所以说这句话，这孤独刚才讲到这句话是 Hari Bhakti Vilas 当中一句话，就说到如果一个在一个王国中，国王的臣民，国王的臣民和这些就是官员，要是表现良好的话，那么自然国王也会分享这些不错的很好的这个结果，但同样的，如果国王的臣民和部长要是行为不端的话，那么这个国王也会跟着一起遭殃。同样，然后第二句话就说到的是，丈夫的话呢，也是必须要承担起妻子的罪恶活动的业报。如果妻子要是行为不端的话，那么最后一句就说的是，同样的，灵性导师也确实是他的门徒的不良行径的伙伴，他这个是一个直译哈，就是说灵性导师也必须得去承担其门徒不良行为的一部分。
观念
啊
What does 观念 mean?
I don't understand.
My pronunciation.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is that, you know, we're in this together as long as we maintain our commitments to each other.
OK. 所以说我要说到的一点就是只要我们还维系对彼此的诺言，那么我们就是都是共同就是在一条船上的，对，就这样翻译，就只要我们还维系对彼此的诺言，那我们就还在一条船上。
OK, next OK.
Okay, next one. 我们来看下一个问题。沙马这位奉献者问 ：Hari Bu, 顶拜 Maharaja, 感谢翻译 Maharaja 和主持人啊，谢谢您。您在讲课中说不能去赞美别人，物质世界人们通过赞美来拉近距离，赞美别人似乎成了一种美德。如果是奉献服务，也不能赞美吗？ So this devotee is offering her obeisances unto you, and she's asking that you were saying that we should not praise other people. And in the material world, people use compliments, use praise to have close relationship, to have better relationship. So praising others seems to be a virtue. So as for devotional service, we should also not praise others.
Yeah, this isn't my statement. I wasn't saying this. Krishna was saying it.
So you were saying that this is not my statement. This is Krishna's words, right?
Yeah.
我说的话并不是我上节课所讲到的那些话并不是我的这个说法，而是 Krishna 的话语。
And he made the statement in a particular context of awakening, you know, from illusion.
而 Krishna 是基于一个从幻觉中觉醒出来的这样一个上下文的背景而说出这一番话的。
Yeah, so that's how we have to understand the statement.
所以说这是我们应该来理解Krishna的这番话语的一个了解的一个背景。
Yeah, so I already explained that context. I won't explain it. I don't need to explain it again.
所以说我在前面的讲课刚才已经解释到了，所以说在这里就不再详谈了。
And it's, of course, in social interactions, encouraging and praising people is very nice and wanted.
Very nice and wanted. 并且的话呢，社交场合是很鼓励这个给予他人赞美的，并且鼓励也是很必要的。And
devotees are, real devotees are non-envious.
并且真正的奉献者是不带嫉妒的。
And so when someone does some wonderful service for Krishna, they're very enlivened by that, and they naturally want to praise that devotee.
而当某个另一个人对 Krishna 做出了非常棒的服务的时候，那么真正的奉献者，这些没有嫉妒心的奉献者，会看到这样的服务，就是心生欢喜，然后觉得就是给予了他们极大的生命力。 自然而然，他们就想要去赞美这个做出了美好服务的奉献者。However,
sometimes even in spiritual circles, praise and blame is used in a way to manipulate people's false ego to get them to do things.
然而的话呢，即便是在灵性团体当中，都会出现这，都会就是会有这样一种现象，就是人们利用。 赞美和批评来去操控一些人的假我，好使得这些人去做一些事情，去控制他们去做一些事情。Yeah,
so we have to be able to look within and always see what our motivation is, especially if we're a manager.
因此的话呢，我们必须要学会去往内看，学会去看到自己在做一件事或者说一句话其背后的动机是怎样的，尤其是如果我们是处在管理职位的话。Yeah,
because when praise and blame is based on material motivations, then the result is it increases a person's identification with the illusory self.
如果我们给予他人的赞美和批评都是基于物质的动机的话，那么这样做所带来的结果便会是使得那一个人更加的去认同于他的虚假的自我。Yeah.
So there, right now we just discussed three different contexts for praise and blame, and each one is very different.
所以到目前为止，我们已经谈论到了关于赞美和这个批评的三种不同的上下文的背景，然后而每一种的话呢，都是要区别分开对待的。Anyway,
I quoted Krishna's statement about praise and blame, and that was in the context of one who wants to awaken.
好，总之的话呢，我引用的是 Krishna 的一段关于赞美、关于表扬和批评的话语，而 Krishna 的那段话是基于一个针对想要觉醒的人的这样一个背景来谈论的。
So that kind of yogi doesn't want to play ego games.
他说的那番话是针对那些不想再去玩假我游戏的瑜伽师们而说的。
Okay, next.
我们来看下一个问题。杨盖莲这位奉献者问：感恩咕噜给予纯粹的甘露，顶拜咕噜的莲花组，顶拜翻译，我不敢当，只有知觉才能知觉到知觉，放下心意的虚幻，通过咕噜的讲课对知觉有了些感受，如何才能去除心中对已故亡人的歉意呢？去除这些不好的印记，还有健在的人，我以往对他们的批评和打击呢，这些就像幽灵，时不时的就会出来打扰我。感恩咕噜指导，请接受我谦卑的顶拜，无限感恩。So this Mataji here is offering her obeisances unto your lotus feet, and she's saying that you were saying that only the consciousness can be conscious of the consciousness. So to give up the mental illusion, give up the illusion of the mind. And through your teaching, I now have some feeling about, some understanding about consciousness. However, how can I get rid of the bad feelings and regrets and apologies that I have had towards the people who passed away? So that's the first one. And also for those people who still alive, I havecriticized them and attacked them before, then how could I deal with the bad impressions on my mind? All of these things are like ghosts. Every now and then they would come out and disturb me. Thank you for your guidance.
Well, thank you for your question.
非常谢谢你的问题。
So the first thing is we can become conscious that we're conscious when we unhook our consciousness.From thinking.
When we unhook our conscious from thinking, huh?
Yes.
所以说，当我们能够让自己的知觉和思考断开的时候，对，当我们能够让自己的知觉和思考断开的时候，我们作为知觉就能够去觉知到知觉。
Yeah, so when we're thinking, we're mostly unconscious.
当我们在思考的时候，绝大多数时候我们都是没有知觉的，都是一种下意识的状态。
Just like when you watch a movie.
这就像是当我们在看电影的时候。
You forget you're watching the movie.
当你看电影的时候，你肯定会忘记你是在看电影。
But you can take your attention out of the movie and notice your hand right now in the present.
但是的话 你却可以在当下此刻把你的注意力从电影故事当中转移开，然后把你的注意力放在你的手上，来觉知到你的手。
Yeah, so for a moment you have unhooked your consciousness from the thinking mind or from the movie.
所以说就有那么一刻的时间，你让你的知觉和思考断开了，你让你的知觉从这个电影故事当中走了出来。
And then for a second, you'll notice, oh, I'm alive, I'm conscious.
因此就在那一个片刻的时候，你就会觉知到，哦，我是有知觉的，我是活着的。
Yeah, and that's a direct knowing that's beyond the mind.
而这是一种直接的知晓，是超越心意的直接的知晓。
Now, our mind is full of memories of past pain.
而我们的心意是充满了过往的回忆以及痛苦的。
And, you know, we have a lot of grudges towards people.
我们对其他人可能抱有很多的怨恨。
Some of those people have already died.
而有些我们抱有怨恨的这些人，有些人已经去世了。
Some are still alive.
而有些还仍然活着。
And we still feel maybe angry or hurt.
我们依然可能对这些人感到愤怒或者感到受伤害。
So in order for our pain to release, it's almost like a shadow self that we've separated because we're not allowing ourselves to accept the feeling.
In order to release the pain with the shadow, could you repeat too much?
Yeah. So like, you know, when we're angry at someone, we don't like to admit we're angry. And we don't fully feel the anger. And we also think that we're angry because of them.
Okay. 当我们对某个人感到愤怒的时候，对某个人很生气的时候，我们是并不喜欢去承认自己是对另一个人很生气的，并且我们也没有完全的去感受自己的这种愤怒。
And the anger is based on a false interpretation we have of ourselves.
而这愤怒是基于我们对自己抱有的一种虚假的解读的。
So first,we have to accept and admit how we feel.
因此首先我们必须要去承认，要去接受自己内心出现了怎样的感受。
Without judging ourselves for how we feel.
并且不去评判自己为什么会出现这样的感受。
And without wanting to get rid of the feeling, because wanting to get rid of it is also a judgment about it.
并且也不是想要去摆脱掉这种感受，因为当你想要摆脱掉一种感受的话，这就表明，你是在评判自己为什么会有这些感受。
Yeah. So whether the person is alive or dead, you bring up their image in your mind.
因此不论你对之感到歉意或者感到痛苦的这些人是否还活着，那么你把这个画面让这个画面出现在你的心意中。
And you consciously express how you feel and notice the feeling in your body.
Notice the feeling in the body. 所以说当你在心意当中出现这个人，关于这个人的画面的时候，你是有觉知的去表达出你对这个人，这个画面当中的这个人的感受是怎样的，你有觉知的表达出来，并且同时去注意到你的身体当中所出现的感觉。
So you want to look at the feeling with curiosity.
你想要能够带着一种好奇心来看，来观看你的内心和身体出现的感受。
Wow, there's anger.
有这个愤怒出现了。
There's hurt.
有这个被伤害的感觉出现了。
What does it feel like?
而这种愤怒和被受伤的这种感觉是一种什么样的感觉呢？
Where in the body do I feel it?
我是在身体的哪个部位感受到这种愤怒感，感受到这种受伤的感觉呢？
And then you express how you feel.
然后你来表达出你内心和身体所出现的感觉是怎样的。
Yeah, and you want to express in words how you feel.
你想要通过言辞，通过话语来表达出你是怎样感受的。
Like, I feel so angry.
就比如像这种很愤怒的，我太生气了。
Oh, I feel so hurt. How could you do that to me?
或者是我觉得好痛苦，为什么你要这样对我呢？
But you're doing it. You're expressing the feeling to really feel it, to really look at it without judging it, without trying to get rid of it.
而你是一种非常有觉知的方式来表达出你的感受，去真正的看到你的感受，而不是试图去摆脱掉你的感受，不是试图去评判自己为什么会有这样的感受。
Otherwise, you remain identified with the feeling and it remains stuck in your emotional, you know, subtle body.
Subtle body. 否则的话呢，你只会继续的去认同于这些情绪，然后继续的去认同于这些继续的让这些能量，让这些情绪存活在你的充满 这种情感的虚这个充满情感的精微的自我之中，对这个精微躯体当中，就这样表达吧。你会继续让这些能量，让这些情绪继续的存活在你的这个精微躯体当中。
So it's a balancing act.
所以说，当你这样有觉知的去表达感受的时候，这就是一种平衡性的行为。
You want to consciously feel the feeling.
你想要能够有觉知的去感受你的感受。
And allow the feeling.
允许这些感受的存在。
Without judging the feeling.
而不是去评判这些感受。
And without judging yourself for having the feeling.
并且也不是评判自己为什么会有这些感受。
And also without getting lost in the story that the feeling is telling.
并且的话也不要让自己迷失在这些感受所讲述的故事之中。
Then after you've done this, you confess it to the super soul.
然后在你做到这一步以后，你就可以向超灵坦诚了。
And what are you confessing?
那么你向超灵坦诚什么呢？
You admit to the person and to the super soul, I'm feeling this way because I fell into illusion again.
然后你向这个人，向你心意当中画面当中的这个人，并且向你内心的超灵去坦诚，我有这样的感觉，我有这样的感受，都是因为我又陷入到了无知之中。
I'm sorry.
我很抱歉。
Please forgive me.
请您原谅我。
And then you forgive yourself for falling into illusion.
然后你就原谅自己再次的堕入到幻觉之中。
Then if you can forgive yourself for falling into illusion, then you can forgive the other person for also falling into illusion.
而如果你能原谅自己堕入到无知之中的话，堕入到幻觉之中的话，那么你也能原谅那一个人堕入到幻觉之中。
And then you send them love and light.
然后你把爱和光芒，发送给这个人。
But you can only do this if you forgive yourself.
然而的话，只有当你能够原谅自己之后，你才能够把爱和光芒送给这个人。
So you can do this for those who are alive and those who are dead.
所以说刚才所谈到的这个过程是你可以对于那些已故的亡人或者是还在健在的人都是可以去做到的。
Okay, thank you for your question.
好，谢谢你的问题。Okay, next one. 我们来看上个星期应该是最后剩下的问题了。Kolani Tai Dasi 问，亲爱的 Guru Day， 那些对于自己非常苛刻非常严厉的奉献者，认为要做很多很多的服务才能取悦 Guru Krishna， 但是很长一段时间却发现自己一点都没有进步，感到很沮丧很绝望，甚至想结束自己的生命，这样的奉献者该怎么办呢？感恩您。So Kolani Tai here is asking you a question, that as for those very strict and very rigid devotees, they want to do many, many services to please Guru and Krishna, but after a long time, they don't find themselves advanced a tiny bit on their spiritual path, therefore feeling very depressed and despair, and even want to end their lives. So how to deal with such devotees? Thank you. Not how to deal with such devotees, like how these devotees, what should they do? How should they do?
First of all, thank you for your question.
首先要谢谢你提出的这个问题。
We can only save ourselves, we can't save anyone else.
我们只能拯救自己，我们是不可能能够去拯救得了其他任何人的。
So the best thing we can do is to sympathize with their condition.
所以说我们能做的最好的事儿就是去同情他们的境况，同情他们的遭遇。
Because this is a condition that happens to many of us on the path. It's actually a part of the process of awakening.
Part of the process of awakening. So The first part is that this condition is happening to many of us on the path.
Yeah, on the path of awakening, a lot of us become depressed and we feel helpless after being very fanatical and very rigid.
I see. 因为就是这种情况的话呢，其实对于很多在这条道路上的人，都是发生在很多这些人的身上的，就是说在很狂热的、很积极的去做很一段时间的服务之后，然后就会感到很绝望、很无助。但是的话呢，这也是我们在觉醒道路上觉醒过程当中的一部分，对。但这也是我们在觉醒过程当中的一部分。
Yeah, so actually, bhakti is called the middle path.
Sorry, Guru Maharaj, bhakti is called the middle path.
Yes.
实际上 bhakti 是被称为这种中间的路途的。
Yes. Too, if we're too austere and we really don't take care of our body and our mind.
如果我们太过这个严厉，然后太过苦行，不去照顾好自己的心意，不去照顾好自己的身体。
We think I am the doer.
然后我们认为自己才是行为者、行动者。
Which is actually the false ego.
而这实际上都不外乎是假我而已。
Then the heart becomes hard.
那么这样的话，我们的心就会变得很坚硬，就会铁石心肠。
So often those types of devotees aren't very, they're very good at following the rules and regulations, but they're not very nice to others.
因此往往这样的奉献者的话呢，非常善于遵循各种的规则、各种的要求，和各种的规范。然而的话呢，对于其他人却并不是很友善。
Yeah, and so, you know, it's, sometimes it's the false ego that starts us on the path,But then, ultimately, we can't awaken by the efforts of the false ego.
Can't awaken by the effort of the false ego. 有些时候，正是假我才使得我们开启了这条灵性道路。然而的话呢，我们是无法通过假我的努力来让自己得以觉醒的。
Yeah, it's only by grace.
而只有通过恩典。我们才能得以觉醒。
Yeah, so unless you make tremendous effort, you won't be unless the ego makes tremendous effort, it won't be convinced that effort will take you nowhere.
Sorry, too much. Unless the ego makes tremendous
it won't be convinced.That effort will not take you to the goal.
That effort will not take you to the goal?
Yeah.
The
false ego effort can't bring you to awakening or to surrender.
So basically you're saying that the ego has to make tremendous effort to feel that it will reach the goal.
No, the ego has to make effortbefore it will actually give up and realize that it can't do it.
Afterwards it will give up.
Then one surrenders.
Okay.
A lot of times people begin devotional service and think, I'm doing it, I'm going to do it. And they put all this effort. But that's actually the false ego. It's not surrender. It's trying to force Krishna.
Force Krishna. Okay.And won't be convinced that anything. So 说很多时候再去开始假我就会想要非常就是投入巨大的努力，然后投入巨大的努力来进行奉爱服务来灵修，然后最后的话呢，假我才会愿意去放手，才会愿意去放弃，然后最终才会愿意去臣服。
Yeah, so then the false ego gives up and then.The real self surrenders and becomes soft and kind towards oneself and to others.
The ego gives up and the real self surrender, huh? 然后的话呢，假我才会放弃，而真正的自我才能够得以去臣服至尊主。那么这样人就会变得柔软下来，变得能够对其他人非常的友善。
So these devotees that feel discouraged, you can say to them,
Okay, say.
I know how you feel. I also used to feel that way. And this is what I've learned.
Okay, 所以如果你要是看到一些奉献者就是非常的灰心丧气的话，然后你可以对这些奉献者说，我知道我能理解你的感受，因为我曾经也是有同样的感受，我曾经也是遇到过同样的这种状况。
So we just have to do the basics.
实际上我们只需要做到一些基础部分就可以了。
Chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulated principles. Everything else is extra.
而这个基础部分那就是遵循四项规范原则，并且念诵16圈，而所有其他的一切都是额外的。
So do that well and humbly.
所以说就好好的去做到这个基础部分，并且谦卑的做到这些基础部分。
And realize.That we need Krishna's mercy. It's not by our effort.
并且能够明白我们是需要 Krishna 的仁慈的，而不是靠自己多么的努力。
And be happy and satisfied in the present.
并且的话呢，就对当下的生活感到快乐，感到满足。
Look at what Krishna's already given you.
去真正的看到 Krishna 在这一刻已经把我们需要的一切都给到了我们。
And then just serve, you know, happily out of gratitude, not rigidly.
而就是基于一种感恩的心情来服务 Krishna, 服务 Guru, 而不是一种非常机械的然后严厉的这种方式和态度来去做服务。
Don't worry, be happy.
不要担心就快乐起来吧。
How many more questions are left? I'm running out of time.
Let me see. The already last week's all the questions are finished, and there are more messages coming today. So I'm looking at. So 1, 2, 3 questions from today.
Okay, I'm going to have to. Can you hold on 1 second?
Hey, Danny.
Grandchild. Here, real quick. Can you say Hare Krishna? I just want you to, Narayani? My grandson has been sitting here the whole time listening.
Guru 说他的孙子刚才一直就坐在他旁边，然后听你跟他讲课。
This is his first class. He's never heard me speak before.
然后说 Guru 说他的孙子之前从来没有听过他讲课呢，然后这是第一次。
So can you say hello to everyone in China?
Hello.
他孙子 ，Hello, Hello, Hello back.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All right. Thank you all.For participating today.
非常感谢大家今天来听课。然后，今天问的问题不好意思，就只有下个星期才回答了。
Thank you, Narayani and Samuki, and is Radha Priya there too?
I'm not sure if Radha Priya is here. Maybe.
Okay. Anyway, thank all the devotees. I'll talk to you next week from my home in Pacifica.
OK, 就感谢大家今天来听课，然后下个星期的话呢 ,Guru 就会在他家里跟大家相会了。
And we'll, whatever questions we didn't get to this week, we'll answer next week. Thank you for your patience.
所以说今天没有回答的问题，我们下星期就会回答，请大家耐心等待。
All glory to Prabhupada and all glory to Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于 Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Have a good day. 外昆塔之音，服务源于聆听。今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna， 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。